Hi, welcome to VLectures. We are on Chapter 15, Customer Obligations of Banking Fundamentals. Friends, up till now we have seen the evolution of banking, then we see the various structures of banking, then we saw the various definition of banking, definition of a customer, definition of the banker. But the point over here is, we feel everything revolves around the bank. Everything revolves around the banker, but it is not so. A banker-customer relationship involves fulfillment of duties as well as obligations from both the banker as well as the customer, which is lesser known. Now, because of non-fulfillment of certain obligations from the customer, certain problems can arise and for which the banker may not be held responsible. Hence, it is very essential to know what are the customer's obligations when he is actually entering into a contractual relationship with a banker. So that is going to be the topic for our chapter under customer's obligations. Now we have to understand, from where does the obligations originate? The relationship between the banker and the customer can be said to be a contractual one. This is very well known. Both the banker and the customer has to sign off an account opening form. The customer will fill all the details and the bank will certify that the account opening details are okay, and only after that he is going to open an account for the customer, and from then onwards the banking transactions will start. The contract specifies the obligations imposed on the banker and the customer. If you carefully see an account opening form, there will be a page on the terms and conditions wherein each and every duty, each and every responsibility of both the banker and the customer is specifically mentioned. Generally, what happens, the customer signs off without reading all the terms and conditions. He feels the terms and conditions are basically meant for the banker. It is not so. He at least needs to have a glance of all the terms and conditions, by which he will try to understand what role he needs to play when the account is in operation. And this is what we are going to see. If he is not going to follow and not going to fulfill his obligations, then what consequences he is going to face. The very first obligation of a customer is he has to submit all the KYC documents. In our KYC chapter, we have seen out of the four pillars of KYC, the topmost one is the customer acceptance policy. In a customer acceptance policy, the banker has full right to decide to whom he can allow to open an account, to whom he need not allow to open an account. And the topmost requirement for opening an account for a customer is submitting all the KYC documents. Hence, the first obligation with a banker starts from a customer with the submission of KYC documents. The first obligation begins with submission of know your customer documents, like the proof of identity and the proof of address documents at the time of opening the bank account. Some of the customers are very fussy. They feel, why does the banker require all sort of information? But they fail to understand there is a mandate, there is a mandatory requirement for submitting this KYC documents. Some of them go to the extent of arguing that a banker should accept whatever documents they submit to the banker for opening the account, in spite of they not falling into a particular category of weaker section, wherein the banker has some flexibility to waive some of the documents. Their belief is banker should accept any and all documents submitted by them for the purpose of KYC. But a point over here is, a banker can accept only those documents as required to be submitted and properly enlisted in the account opening form as well as by the regulatory authorities. The banker cannot accept any other document which falls outside the scope of the list of the documents desired by the regulators as well as made as a rule by the banker's board. Hence, the obligation of the customer starts with submission of KYC documents. If he does not do this obligation, the banker is not obliged to open an account for him. The second important requirement or the obligation of the customer is to get familiarized with the banking procedures. The customer has to visit the bank branches only during the business hours. Most of the customer want to get their work done as and when they want, irrespective of the time binding. But when they come to the branch and find the shutters down, their basic assumption proves wrong and the basic desire could not be fulfilled. Some of the banks keep the shutter half open, and because of which the customer try to get into it and force their instructions on the banker to accept their transaction even after the business hours, which is strictly prohibited as per the Banking Regulation Act also. Hence, the banker has to clearly display the business hours in a visible location in the branch premises or outside the branch premises so that a customer is very much aware this timing is just not for display, but it is regulated by the regulatory authority and there are serious consequences the banker will have to face if it accepts any transaction outside the business hours, maybe before the business hours or even after the business hours. The customer has to use the banking stationery for performing the banking transactions. More specifically, when the customer comes and deposits cash, he has to use the cash paying slip or the check paying slip when he has to deposit the check and nothing else. These are the standardized stationery designed by the bank's board for usage across its branches by the customer. The customer cannot make his own slip, make his own letter and ask the bank to accept cash or check for depositing into his account. He has to oblige, he has to comply with all these rules and regulations of using a standardized stationery for depositing cash, for depositing check, as well as for withdrawing money with the withdrawal where he does not have a checkbook facility. The customers are not supposed to involve in any activities that can hamper the day-to-day banking activities. Some of the customers have a habit of arguing with the staff, thereby stopping the business, thereby creating a huge chaos in the branch premises. So one of the obligations of the customer is also to see that it does not contribute to hampering of any banking activity. If he has some dispute, if he has some problem, he can actually complain. He can go to the right authority and get his problems resolved, but should not contribute for hampering or stoppage of the regular banking business happening in the branch. Follow the terms and conditions. As we have seen, this is not a fine print. The banker is displaying the terms and conditions in a proper legible manner, and it becomes the duty of the customer to read each and every terms before signing off the account opening form. And once he has signed off the account opening form, he is supposed to comply with all the terms and conditions he has signed for. The customer is obliged to follow the terms and conditions accepted by him while opening deposit account or while availing a loan facility also. Because even when you have to take a loan, you have to sign off a loan agreement and some of the supplementary documents along with the loan agreement. You can't just sign off and say later that you have not understood the agreement or you have not known the terms and conditions. So the customer is obliged to read each and every statement, each and every paragraph of whether the account opening form or a loan agreement before signing off, and that is a basic obligation on the part of the customer. For example, the customer is supposed to make a demand for payment for his demand deposits. He has to produce a receipt or he has to give a check across the counter for making a demand and nothing else. The customer is supposed to make timely payment of his loan installments. Whenever he is taking a loan, the EMIs are fixed for whatever tenure of loan the loan is going to run, and it is an obligation on the part of the customer to make a timely payment of all the EMIs rather than the bank informing him or reminding him to pay the EMIs. If the bank is reminding or trying to make the customer understand his responsibility, then it means the customer is not fulfilling his obligation, and that becomes one of the violation of the terms and conditions signed by the customer while opening the account or while entering into an agreement for taking a loan. The customer has to repay his overdrawings. The customer has no business to draw from his account more than what the balance he is maintaining in this account. He can only draw from his account up to the balance he is maintaining in the account, and if at all sometimes the account is overdrawn, the bank accommodates his instructions for going even above the balance that is maintained by which an overdraft is created. It becomes an obligation on the part of the customer to replenish the account as soon as possible rather than the bank following him for regularizing the account. Customers are often permitted overdrafts or temporary loans by bankers to meet temporary cash flow mismatches. Sometimes the customer draws a check without sufficient balance. The banker, not to embarrass the customer, in good faith on the basis of relationship established with him, may pay the check, and in both the above cases, the customer has an obligation to pay the amount on demand. The banker should not be made to follow up for recovering such overdrawings which was made on the basis of good faith and to accommodate the customer due to a long-term relationship. The customer is expected to keep the banking documents safely. What can be considered as the banking document? The first thing can be a checkbook. The second thing can be an ATM card, a debit card issued to the customer. The third thing may be the internet banking password, the mobile banking password, or any other password which the banker issues for operation of his special accounts. All this constitutes the banking documents, and becomes a prime obligation on the part of the customer to keep these documents safely so that they don't fall in the hands of anybody else other than the customer. And only when it falls into the hands of anybody else other than the customer, the opportunity of misuse arises. So the customer has to kill this opportunity of misuse right from its origination by keeping the documents given by the bank in a safe place. The customer is obliged to keep his banking documents like checkbook, passbook, pay slip book, ATM card, passwords for ATM, internet banking, mobile banking, etc. safely, and that safely simply means it should not be in the reach of any other person other than him, even his friends or family members also. The customer cannot sleep on his accounts or the statement of accounts sent by the banker to him. The basic purpose of sending statement of accounts or updating the passbook is for a reconciliation of the transaction initiated by the customer and the transactions that are booked by the banks into its system. Only when there is a match of the customer's instructions with the transactions that are recorded in the system, there is an authenticity, or we can say that the transactions are done correctly as well as recorded correctly by the banks in its system. There is a system for this by which banks send timely statements to the customer with a disclaimer in the statement in which the customer is obliged to check the statement as per the instructions given by him to the banker and bring back any discrepancy within the time period fixed by the banker, maybe 5 days, 10 days, 15 days, if at all there is any discrepancy, else the banker will presume that instructions given by the customer are properly recorded in the system. So this becomes an important obligation on the part of the customer to have a timely reconciliation for whatever frequency that has been decided while opening the account. This frequency can be weekly, fortnightly, monthly, or even quarterly. A passbook should be sent by the customer to the bank periodically and regularly for recording the necessary entries so that the mistakes, if any, may be detected by the customer soon thereafter. Now, some of the customers may not prefer to get the statements in the electronic form or through the postal route. They would always like to update their transactions in the passbook given to them. But the point over here is, if they don't submit their passbook for timely update by the banker, how are they going to reconcile? Hence, it becomes an obligation on the part of the customer to submit the passbook to the bank branch for timely update of his transactions, and upon which he has to check whether all the transactions that are reported in this passbook tallies with whatever instructions he has given, whatever instructions he has recorded in his checkbook or in any book for in case of a withdrawal. The customer must tally the entries with his own records, either the account books or the counterfoils of the paying slip and the checks, etc. Some customers are very meticulously keeping all the paying slips, and whenever they get the records updated in the passbook or receive the statement of accounts, they tick up each and every entry against the counterfeit, and that is what is meant by a proper reconciliation, a timely reconciliation by which the error, if spotted, can be brought out to the notice of the bank, and any chance of misappropriation, any chance of fraud is averted because of this timely reconciliation. Updation of personal details. Every citizen in our country is free to move to any part of the country for job, for education, and for what purpose he desires to. And because of which the personal details are bound to change, because when he is relocated from one part of the country to another part of the country, his contact, the phone number, his residential address, and all other details can change on relocation. And if that is not recorded in the bank records, then the bank will start or continue sending the communication to the old records, and because of which the customer will not know what is happening in the account. And hence it is a very important obligation on the part of the customer to bring to the notice of the banker whatever changes or modifications that are made in his personal details, like his name, like his address, like his contact number, like his email address, or any other that is relating with his personal details. The customer is obliged to intimate the banker about change in personal details like address, contact number, email address, etc. The customer is also required to fulfill certain terms and conditions after attaining majority, change in name, etc. Attaining majority is specifically applicable to minors. Whenever a minor opens an account with a natural guardian, more details about the natural guardians are recorded. But as soon as a minor attains majority, he becomes capable of contract, and hence his details, along with the photograph, along with the PAN details, along with the address details, needs to be registered in the bank accounts, and hence it becomes a prime obligation of the minor turned major to submit all the details and accordingly operate the account after majority. Same way, in change of names in case of married women, whenever they are married, that there is a likelihood the name getting changed, and there is a process for effecting the name change, that is publication in the official gazette. Any income accrued to the married woman after her marriage needs to be deposited into an account carrying her new name. But if that new name is not affected by a gazette notification, then how can the changes get reflected in the account? How can the account get opened in the first instance itself? Hence, such personal details about the customer has to be submitted, and it becomes a prime obligation on the part of the customer to submit such details. A customer is also obliged to follow certain useful processes like nomination, submission of stock statements, cooperation for completion of due diligence process, etc. Nomination is becoming a very important activity for every customer, because when the customer expires, the problems the legal heirs has to face for taking control of the balances in the deceased account are to a larger extent lots and lots. To avoid these problems when the customer expires, nomination is an excellent facility wherein the banker can simply hand over the whatever balance of the deceased customer to the nominee, and accordingly the legal heirs and nominee can settle it out without any problems to anybody. Same way, if he has taken a loan account, say working capital loan, he is supposed to give timely submission of stock statements so that the banker can always review and update the drawing limit for him. In case of identification of the address, identification of the entity, sometimes the banker is required to visit the premises of the customer for identification, for verifying the proof of address, in which case the customer is supposed to cooperate with the banker for completion of this due diligence process. The banker gives wide range of services, offers wide range of products at a cost, and that is how the bank runs. Bank accepts deposit from the public and lends it, and there is a small margin of profit kept for him for its own growth and finally the growth of the economy. And one part of the revenue comes from the charges which the banker charges to the customer for offering wide range of products and services. So one of the important obligations of the customer is to pay the bank charges because he is availing those products and services. A customer has a responsibility and duty to pay reasonable bank charges for services rendered to him. Banks make available their charges to a customer when a customer avails of a service, it tantamounts to their agreeing to pay for the service. These charges are displayed on the bank's website. At the same time, some of the banks also have a schedule of charges as a part of their account opening form, and the customer is made to sign off the account opening form along with the schedule of charges so that the customer later do not deny that he is not aware of the charges that are going to be recorded from him by the banker for availing of the products and services. And once he has signed off such charges or is aware of the charges, he has to pay the bank charges because that is the basis on which the bank runs and generates profits for its future business. Operation of the account. The customer must, without any delay, inform the bank if he discovers that another person has forged his signature on checks drawn on his account. If he acts as a hand-in-glove with a forger, then the banker is not responsible for such hand-in-glove business of the customer with a criminal. If at all any forgery is detected by the customer, it is a basic obligation of the customer to bring that to the notice of the banker so that the bank can act fast and take some action on the forgery or on the criminal. If he does not do so, he could be stopped from claiming that the checks are forgeries if the bank had paid them in good faith and without negligence. The bank won't be held responsible for such negligence of the customer of not reporting such forgeries in spite of you being knowing of such forgeries to the bank. There is a beautiful case law of Greenwood versus Martin's Bank in which the court held that the husband could not take any action against the bank because of his own failure to notify the bank of the forgeries. And this forgery was done by one of the family member. So even though it's a forgery made by the family member, the account holder's obligation is to report such forgery to the bank. Only then the bank will be able to take action. Hence the court held that husband could not take any action against the bank because of his own failure to notify the bank of the forgeries. Duty of reasonable care in drawing checks. The customer has a responsibility to draw checks in such a way that does not facilitate the alteration of their amount. If the customer leaves some gaps or leaves some room for manipulation of the amount written in words and figures, then the customer can be treated as careless and helping the person with a criminal mind to do some forgery on it, and in which case the bank may not be held responsible. Failure to do so will entitle the customer's bank to debit the customer's account for the amount for which the check seems to have been drawn if it pays the amount on presentation of the check in good faith and without negligence. Here again we have a beautiful case law in the form of London's Joint Stock Bank versus Macmillan, in which the court held that a bank could debit the customer's account as the customer had left a gap between the pound sign and the numerals in the space on a printed check form and did not fill in the amount in words at all. The customer caused his own loss and he cannot rely on the rule that alteration of a check in a material particular invalidates it, so that his bank has no mandate to pay it. A very important case law highlighting the obligation or the importance of customer taking care of his own check. In spite of this, if the addition or alteration is noticeable on reasonable inspection, the bank must not honor the check. So the bank's liabilities comes later, but the customer's liability comes first. If he is actually helping the criminal to do such forgeries, then the bank may not be held responsible. Proper end use of the loan amount. The bank sanctions a loan to the customer for using it towards the purpose for which it was granted. The customers should use that loan for the purpose for which it was granted. Customer should not misuse the funds and use the funds for the purpose for which it was granted, and if he fails to do so, it amounts to violation of the terms and conditions signed by the customer and a top failure of the obligation of the customer, before which the bank can recall the advance and the customer will have no say on it. More obligations with the introduction of technology products. As we have seen, the evolution of technology right from the bench banking towards the wireless banking, more and more sophisticated products are introduced. But sometimes the customer are ignorant, sometimes the customer are not aware about the threats that can be faced, and hence it becomes obligatory on the part of the customer to understand the technology products and as well as take care that no other person can take advantage or misuse their technology products. ATM, internet banking, mobile banking, etc. have eliminated the boundaries of bank banking, but it has also increased the obligations of the customer. The customer is supposed to keep his ATM card safely, not to share his password with any other person, even though he is a family member or a friend. The customer is also required to get familiar with the technology platforms introduced by the bank, especially the internet banking, the mobile banking, the kiosk banking. Any lapse in obligation can result in deficiency of service or even loss of money, so for which the banker may not be held liable because the customer has failed prima facie in its obligation to take care about his electronic product, to fulfill the procedures which are expected from him while operating the electronic products. Precautions to be taken by using the net banking. Avoid accessing the site through a link from another site or an email. Visit the site directly. Now, there are certain precautions to be taken when a customer specifically uses internet banking. All sites are not safe. Some of them are specifically meant for taking out information from the customer and using that information against them. Hence, the customer should be aware about which sites he has to visit, and whenever he is going to access the bank site, how he has to identify the correct bank site. Avoid accessing the site through a link from another site or an email, because such links or emails can amount to directing the customer to a hacker site. Ignore the phishing or vishing attacks like asking passwords through email, phones, etc., because this phishing or vishing attack can take the important information from the customer and use it against them. Not to use cyber cafes, shared PCs to access our internet banking site, but use personal electronic gadgets only, because sometimes the cyber cafes will have some applications stored on the PC to pick up the passwords and later use that information and even go to the extent of using the customer's account to their benefit. And finally, update your PC with the latest antivirus and spyware software programs so that any hacking attempt can be averted and the customer can have a direct connection from his computer to the internet banking computer so that whatever transactions that are desired only will be affected and nothing else. So overall, if we have to conclude chapter 15, we have to say that with the increase in modernization and adoption of new technology, the expectation of the customer regarding precautions while using electronic products have increased and they have to comply with it, otherwise they will have to face the consequences. Though the traditional products continue to exist, the obligations of the customers are increasing with the increase in sophistication of the other products. Hence, the customer should get knowledge about such sophistication and use the product for what it is meant. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for hearing this 15th chapter.